Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elagun Oloye Hudu Obeya Okur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is truly and indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth, and it is my personal place of power and understanding. That place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all-blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Friday, the 7th, the falling 7-7-2017. I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince. Tide Potions and Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those came before me along this spiritualist voodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down that great Obeya stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, and minerals. I'm always honored and appreciative of those of you who do join me here live at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch, Voodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here on Blog Talk Radio. Please also enjoy me in archive at your leisure and convenience at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. Remember to put that hyphen in between the and divine prince in order to pull up the correct URL. My listen-in and call-in number, your microphone, if you will, is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. Be mindful, we do not do live personal readings here on the show. You can always visit my website, where I can be reached, utilizing Barry virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of well-defined, well-documented manifestation and revelation at houseofthedivineprince.com, www.houseofthedivineprince.com. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Eshu Elegwana Kosi Wari Awo Ono Uto Ni Iwo Ada Afanbo Osi Obatala Mi Ita Ni Ibo Unilio Abanishu. Eshu is the respected elder who flogs, confronts, and uncovers fools. That one verse in Mysteries uses truth to own you. He calls a scatter to see poverty. Obatala shakes rascals to have sacrifice. The owner of warnings is the one who is Eshu. Ashe. Open the door, we open the way to knowledge, to power, divine manifestation, revelation. We open the door to the manifestation in what we say we believe and what we say we understand. It is evident in our demonstration. It is evident at the crossroads where all things converge and have its activity. All things come together at the crossroads, but at the point of well, it's easy to see the light. It's easy to see the sun. It's easy to be joyful. It's easy to be at peace. It is when we're under challenge. It is when we're under duress. It's when we're confronted with the problem, with the issues. That exists at the crossroads. That's what I mean when I say the crossroads. It is only in the crossroads that what you say you know and have learned is tested. It's at the crossroads. It's easy to quote scripture, to quote Psalms, to quote good feeling, positive words when we're not being challenged to put those words to action. We say success. We say blessing. We say peaceful. But what do those things mean separated from the demonstration? That thing that we truly seek in that moment in time space when nothing else will fix it, nothing else will do it. When we're dealing with health, when we're dealing with poverty, when we're dealing with the bills piling up, when we're dealing with how we handle our domestic relationships with our partners, with our children, with our friends, how we interact in the space with our coworkers and how we earn our living. It is in those places that we encounter the crossroads where you have to deal with forces, people, places, things that you may not feel you can directly control. Ultimately, I can control me. Ultimately, I can control and affect my perception of the event, of the moment in time space. Only I can change. Only I can decide. Only I can determine if I'm going to wake up and be happy today, or if I'm just going to go with the flow, if you will. And sometimes the flow is negative. And we pick up flow along our journey, but more importantly, at the crossroads. You wake up, you don't have a plan to be, you just go with the feeling. And then you encounter the second person, you know, at the point of sale, at the drive-through, at the checkout, you know, on the sidewalk. And that person might not be in the same space that you are in that moment in time. That's the crossroads. And that's when we pick up the spirit, the gin of negative energy, negative vibration. When we are walking unconsciously, when you don't pre-plan, pre-set, predetermine your move, that move is planned for you. Or you're at the liberties of what we call weather. I call it all weather. Those things that we can't control, those things that are out of our direct ability to make an impression upon, those things in life that we feel we have to just deal with. When it rains on everyone. You either are indoors or you're not. You either have an umbrella or you're not. You're either prepared for the weather that day or you're not. And if you're unprepared, then you just get wet. And many of us are living our lives this way, where we're just sort of going organically, going with the flow, how it feels today. But at some point, you've got to predetermine a plan. Destiny is written by Olodumare. It's written by God. It's written by Ori. And those of you who understand the concepts behind the words that I'm using right now, Ori is our highest consciousness. So we and God are simultaneously. When we say God, we're ultimately invoking what we do. Not some force, some power outside ourselves. Not something that's just in the realm of Orisha, that's just in the realm of Lowa, that's just in the realm of spirit. But when we say God, we are a mirror reflection of God. We are the earthly, fleshly manifestation of God. If we believe God to be universal, all-encompassing, all-knowing, then God is in everything: rock, plant, wood, air, water, in all organic material, and that would include this housing that we call the body. But more importantly, it's also in that housing that contains the spirit. And just where exactly does that spirit reside? Is it physically attached to this body? Is it just outside and surrounding this body? Is it just in the brain? Is it just in the heart? Where does that thinking, feeling, spirit part of who we are, that part of us that feels things, that experiences things from the inside? You know, we can sit and observe and hold our mouths closed and watch life, but the activity is ultimately taking place from within, from that place where we perceive and calculate and analyze and put together what we see. The body does its physical, chemical, you know, electronic things, and pulses are sent, you know, through the nerve systems and into the brain, and we see things, if you didn't know, really opposite and in reverse. And then our brains take those signals in from our eyeball and put it in its right position. And that's why, if you've ever seen that game in social media where they can, you know, write a paragraph and the first letter and the last letter of every word is as it should be, but then they'll mix up all the other letters in the middle. And some of us are still somehow able to read through that and fully recognize the words that are being said, even with that little mind game being played. Well, our brains and our spirits sort of work in a similar fashion. The microcosm mirrors the macrocosm. Things that we can learn and understand and interpret and digest scientifically, metaphysically, can also be mirrored back to us in quantum metaphysics, in physics itself, in scientific studies themselves. So our perception of what real is, our perception of what life is, of what reality is, all exists on the inside. No matter what we see, what we feel, what we think we can perceive and interpret, it's all translated from the inside. So indeed, how you feel when you wake up in the morning is critical to your day. And you decide in that moment how you're going to feel. It doesn't mean you don't connect to what you're feeling. It doesn't mean, you know, you might not feel the arthritis, or you might not feel the emotional thing that you need. You know, I remember in my 20s, I woke up negative every morning. I was not happy to be human. I was not happy to be on the planet. I was not happy to be here dealing with humanity and life, and I was not ready to live life on life's terms. And jobs and all the politics that we had to play in that environment didn't make any sense to me. So I woke up negative every day, every morning. And so I learned it took conscious effort to determine what I was going to do. It didn't mean that the things that the trigger didn't exist anymore. I just matured, learned skills, developed technology to address how I was going to respond to that stimuli. And over time, that stimuli changed permanently over time. But when you're at the crossroads, when you're in the thick of the thing, it's all you can do just to think positive. It's all you can do just to get up and do your routine, particularly if you have a family, children, responsibilities, other mouths to feed, other people to be responsible for. It's all you can do just to keep it moving in that moment, keep it moving through that day, one day at a time, as they say. But I beg of you to try this with me. Try it for as long as you can and stop. Take a breath. Take a breather, come at it again, but create your reality first in your mind. First in your mind. How do you do that? Meditation is a great way to do that. Now, don't trip over the word meditation. You say certain words, and they've got archetypes attached to them, and people already start shutting down. But meditation, for lack of a better word, creative meditation, visualized meditation. You can't always control out here physically what's going on, but you can do it from inside, even for a moment. And that moment can become 5 minutes, and that 5 minutes can become a day. And so you manage to do it for a day, and you manage to do it for a week. And then it does become a permanent routine. But I'm not asking you to commit to all of that. I'm just asking you to try it, you know, just for a day and recreate your reality. Close your eyes, get still, find a quiet place, go in a closet if you have to, shut the door on the bathroom if you have to, but find somewhere in your schedule and think clearly in the way that you would want your life to be, your world to be, if things were right, if things were in order. Don't get caught up in the random thoughts that will interfere, particularly for those of you who are unlearned in meditation, who are not used to doing creative, conscious things in your head like this. So get still, find a place, and then don't think about the politics, the budget, what kind of job you have or don't have, but only in the context of assuming those perfect and exactly the way you would want, and recreate that reality first in your mind. The more you do this, the more you become familiar with it, it'll be easier for you to do. I literally started from the basics when I started doing this in my 20s. I mean, I would literally recreate the very room I was in. You know, I would look around my room, scan the room from left to the right, 360 degrees. I'd breathe, then I'd go in my meditation, and then I would recreate the room as it was in my head, and hold that for as long as I could. You know, stop, take a breath, open your eyes, readjust, look at what's in your room, focus in now on a little bit more detail, specifics about what's going on, then close your eyes, go back into that quiet space again. Once I became proficient at that, I would then recreate the room entirely. New paint. New wallpaper, new furniture, new furnishing. You might be lacking certain things right now in your real world physical space. You recreate those things in your head. Now, some of y'all are laughing. Some of y'all don't get it yet. This is what the law of attraction is. This is what positive thinking is. This is the whole point of visualized meditation. This is what it's all about. I'm just trying to put it in plain English for you. I would then expand to not just my residence, the neighborhood, the town, the city, the state, the country, the planet. And then I started taking outer space trips. And some of you will begin to tap your ability to astral travel, your ability to see into the future, your ability to access some of your deeper spiritual gifts by playing these sorts of mind games. It's just a mind exercise. If you can lift weights and jog and run and do those things to sort of better amplify the abilities of the physical body, we also can do the same thing in our heads and in our spirit. So once you lock into the depression, and that becomes real for you, you then are literally recreating that misery for yourself in everything. And from that, we then develop in gratitude, because now you can't see. You're so blinded by your misery and lack of, and feelings of isolation and feelings of what I don't have and what I need to get, that everything becomes me versus what I need, me versus the world versus this pit of feeling that I'm experiencing right now. So when the happy person comes along, you don't believe that. And we come up with cute memes, or nobody can be that happy, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know the stuff that we do in social media. And so that negative world that depression and tragedy can sometimes bring us to then becomes your reality. And you're self-creating, recreating, remapping your reality every moment from the inside, not from the outside, from the inside. You know, you first feel that drop of water on your hand, you don't notice that. 5 minutes later, you notice, okay, wait a minute, that was water, right? It might be getting ready to rain. So the feeling, the emotion, the response to the outside stimuli is not always immediate. Sometimes we have a moment, sometimes we have a great deal of time to look at it, analyze it, decide how we're going to approach it, decide some new way of addressing the situation. And we can start so simply with just recreating, remapping our reality from the inside, and learning how, training yourself how, teaching yourself how to hold on to that moment, that feeling longer. And we can literally recreate the world that we desire in real world terms, in physical terms, on the outside. The bills end up getting paid, the tragedies lessen or happen, and we respond to them in a very different way. We address the problems of the past. We better are prepared for things happening in the future moving forward. And the manifestation of what you believe, what you see, what you crystallize from the inside, then becomes a part of your ever-waking reality. This moment in time space has been purely organic. I had a very well mapped out, written, typed show that I was going to do today. I was going to continue on the theme that we talked about last night on the message. I appreciate those of you who supported the message with Donatus King on NOA TV. Those of you who participated and watched and enjoyed the show on Facebook Live directly from Donatus King's page, or from my Facebook profile, or from Joshua Nyland Sanders' profile. I'm certainly grateful and appreciative of those of you who called in and participated and listened to the show. And if you remember, as we were ending that show, Donatus was challenging us what good and evil is. We believed in that, if we understood that, and how that translated in African traditional religion. So I had a very well thought out planned show I was going to do today, specifically about the problem of evil in the context of ancestral intervention in the affair of the living in Africa. And I'm going to bring that tomorrow when I broadcast at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, The Power Lunch. Voodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes. Remember, my live listening and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. Press the number 1 when you're ready with your question. If you don't press the number 1, I'm just going to talk and I'm just going to move on. And spirit often will take over, as it did today. None of that was planned. It was something that just needed to be express. But tomorrow I am going to talk about the problem with addressing good and evil. I have a very interesting Zulu religious story to share with you. We don't know a whole lot about spirituality and religion. We know a lot about Orisha and Loa and Voodoo. And so tomorrow I'm going to speak from Zulu and South African context. We're going to talk about Inyakuyusa and other South African words, systems, ideas that play into how we apply the concept of good and evil in African traditional religious systems. So I thank you all for being present. 504, I'm going to open your mic because your hand is raised. We're no longer broadcasting live. Wall Talk Radio already cut us off. But we are in archive, so the archive listeners will be able to hear you and your question and or comment. I have not memorized all of my 504 numbers, so please forgive me. So 504, your first three numbers are 942.
Oh. Hi, the Divine Prince. This is LaToya. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, peace and blessings.
Okay, peace. I was just calling to, it's funny that this was not planned, the show today, talking about meditation and kind of recreating your life and the things around you. One of the things that I get a lot and that I felt in the beginning practices of meditation is that you're overwhelmed because the thoughts of what's going on in your worldly existence are still floating in, the bills, the children, the career, and things like that. And one of the things that I had to remember is that the intention is not to stop thinking. You know, you're not trying to force yourself to get rid of your thoughts. You're forcing yourself to be present and then controlling what you're seeing with those thoughts, you know, what your present mind is bringing to life. And what I found that as I practiced and continued doing that, then it became something that I could do at an instant. You know, if you are in a place and you're realizing, wow, I need to shift this moment, you know, I need to take care of this thing in another way, you can instantly call that ability to create what the world looks like, how you're receiving it, what it feels, what it smells and tastes like. You can change that on demand. And that's a really powerful skill to have strengthened, especially when you're trying to navigate, when you're a spiritual person trying to navigate your worldly existence and you still have all of these, you know, regular things that come up and about traffic and this or that. So the ability to meditate and then not just meditate, but manifest what your world looks like is powerful. And it starts from just moments of mindfulness with yourself. So it's just gratitude for this show today, because I think a lot of people don't necessarily know what it means to try to meditate, or they think that you're supposed to sit cross-legged on the floor, you know, the images show of Buddha and things like that. And you're like, well, if I can't sit like that and not think, then I'm not meditating. And that's really, meditation is more than that. So you bringing that talk of creative meditation or visual meditation is really powerful. And I think it's a necessary message and talent to have.
Yeah, I think the power of what's in our mind, the power of what's inside our skull, in my opinion, is greatly underrated. And we give so much power to physical things outside ourselves, even other forces and powers outside ourselves, you know, like the government or your partner's impression of life and how that then affects you and how you live. And so people develop what I've learned to be an illusion of entrapment, an illusion of being isolated, an illusion of it's just me and I'm just in this by myself. And you've got all this inner conversation going on that does not reinforce the thing that you want to happen. And it becomes very difficult to find a way to get out of that once you then begin to believe what your inner voices are saying. Because when your inner voices are saying, oh, you know, you're worthless, they're not thinking about you, you know, you ain't got nothing, so what you going to do? And then you take that to then be your real reality, it then becomes a self-repeating, self-manifesting cycle. And so you've got to find the light. You've got to find that world, that life, that existence that you truly want to happen, and focus on it for more than 5 minutes, because the weather is going to come. It's still going to rain. The bills are still going to happen. The kids are still going to bring something new for you to have to be challenged with, or have to address, or repair, or replace, you know, or buy, you know, and life does continue to go. But we get stuck in the reality of our feelings, and not in the reality of what our minds are truly able to manipulate and structure and restructure for us. And perception is everything. If you perceive yourself to be at a loss, it doesn't matter how much response you get. It doesn't matter how much feel good you get. It doesn't matter how many donations you get. It doesn't matter how many people come by and pat you on the back and drop off a check, you know, and a bunch of material stuff. You're still going to be unhappy. And in a worst case scenario is ungrateful, in that you can't even see the light. You then can't even identify the good anymore, because you're only focused in on the misery and the negative and the depression. And so you then believe everybody's negative and depressive. And if they show themselves positive, then it must be a game. It somehow possibly couldn't be real. So I appreciate you chiming in on that. I don't really even know where that came from. I just knew that it had to be said in that moment. Sister Latoya, and Spirit wasn't allowing me to say anything else. So I'm just glad that we had that. And for whomever needs to hear that, I hope that they receive something from that. And please reach out to either of us about meditation and how to do that. I found crystals to be very helpful. When I had reached what I thought was the extent of what I could physically, chemically, emotionally do to affect what was happening in my meditation. Even what you eat has to do with how well you're being able to maintain meditation. You just can't eat BS and think that you're going to be able to meditate and be centered and things are going to flow. Your chemicals are involved in this, your hormones, your diet, what we're taking in. Meditation is not just a spiritual thing. It's not just that emotional thing. Sometimes you have to get out and absorb some sun, walk around. But once you do that, I found that ability to create and recreate my reality became one of my best assets. And so now when I'm at the crossroads and I see the challenge and I'm faced with the challenge, I first see how to fix it, as opposed to through that list of complaints that we've sort of, you know, organically taught ourselves to do in this culture. I immediately go to the, how do I fix this? What's the resolution? So if I wake up negative, I don't over-focus on the negative. I then focus in on how do I repair this so that I don't have to continue on in this feeling, in this mode, in this thing. I do believe Block Talk Radio has cut us off. My calls are starting to drop. I'm going to close the show remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil. See beyond the veil. See beyond the challenge. See beyond the moment. See beyond the problem. There are always other options, other alternatives, other solutions. We just must decide to choose. Or chosen from the outside. All is true and indeed a blessing, I say.
Congo Square. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. A sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our host, the Olmos Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang, we beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us, inside the beat of us. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate, a world heralded by the beat, beat, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart beat, heart beat, heart be at this place be heart beat, be we beating place in new world space, beating being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together, circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end, connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal, be what we were before we became what we are. Be bambula dance, be banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget, even when we can't remember.